This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, thanks for staying tuned. I'm Philip C. here with Wong Xiaoning and Tan Chen Li on The Morning Run. It's now 7:16 in the morning, Wednesday the 13th of April. In the meantime, let's talk about civil servants, because political leadership may come and go, but the civil service remains the constant cog in the wheels of government bureaucracy, tasked with keeping services running regardless of political turmoil.
But this is the political upheaval of the past 4 years, taking a toll on relations between political leaders and the civil service. This week, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs announced publicly the recall of two senior diplomats from the UAE over logistical issues or failures during the visit of our Prime Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri to the UAE last month. Separately, the Malay Mail reported that the Attorney General's Chamber has accepted representation from Serba Dynamic officials who will allegedly be given offers to compound the various offences they have been charged with.
Now, this compound could clear or reduce the charges faced by the group's top executives. And while the AGC has yet to confirm this publicly, the portal sources reported that the decision was made despite arguments from the Securities Commission and Bursa Malaysia that the move could negatively affect capital markets. Now, these revelations have brought up the question of just how the civil service operates with their ministerial counterparts as well as with other government agencies. Exactly how independent are they and what are the bureaucratic intricacies behind it?
For some insights into this, we have with us Tricia Yeo, CEO of IDS. Good morning, Tricia. Cabinet ministers can change, but civil servants tend to stay the same. From your observations, how have politicians navigated relations with the civil service? Is it a top-down approach or is it more collaborative than it looks?
So I have had experience with this, specifically within the state government level, but I think the issues faced at the state government are probably escalated at the federal government level, right? Just looking at the size of the ministries and the high-level decisions that have to be made at that level. As you say, the civil service is supposed to be neutral and it is supposed to serve the political coalition that comes into power. So the thing that you will always hear from the civil service is that they serve the government of the day. It's very interesting when the political coalition in question changes, because up to 2018 at the federal level, of course, there had not been any change in government. And so the civil service had always been used to working with the same coalition. And since 2018, I think there's been a whole series of changes which the civil service has had to adapt to very quickly and navigate that kind of relationship. On your question of whether it's a collaborative relationship, it is collaborative. Ultimately, the political appointee, the minister at the very top, has to work very closely with the senior civil service, right? So your secretary general, your director general, and all the way down, they have to work closely together, because the civil service is the one that is aware of the rules and regulations. They know the ins and outs of what is required under certain, for example, procurement rules. So there has to be a collaborative effort between them. Sometimes, of course, that relationship can break down. And I think maybe that's what we're talking about today.
So how independent is the civil service? They are typically supposed to serve objectively, regardless of which political coalition is in charge. But what has the experience of the multiple change of governments revealed on this front?
Again, the civil service is supposed to be independent. They actually sign documents that, you know, say so much to that extent. But I think if you recall at the very beginning when the PH government took over in 2018, there was a lot of talk, and unfortunately this spilled over into the news as well, because some of the ministers, in fact, said it quite explicitly that there was this what they call, quote-unquote, deep state dynamics that was taking place. And although the deep state was never at the time really unpacked, and I know some people are trying to do research on that now, I think what the deep state really referred to at that time was precisely this kind of long-term civil servants who had been in service for such a long time across agencies, across ministries, and including GLCs as well, right? So these long-standing relationships, there would already have been a culture in place on how things are done. I think this multiple change of governments reveals that there are things that can still move, but I think if you dig a little bit deeper, you will find that there could be some instances of miscommunication, which may or may not result in the removal or the replacement of certain civil servants. I know this has happened, and I think one of the main problems is that when politicians come and go, they don't take enough time to understand the civil servants' perspectives before they rush ahead and make certain decisions that may come because of the, you know, cabinet mandate, or maybe it comes because of certain political reasons. So I think there are multiple reasons there, but it's really a fascinating case study because up to 2018, you did not see this kind of behavior. It was always one and the same. It was a very centralized machine where politicians and bureaucrats would work hand in hand to deliver on certain policy outcomes. So I think the last few years, you know, has had an impact on these relationships, which perhaps are not as smooth as they may have been prior to 2018. And I think what you see today is possibly the result of these strains over the last few years.
Now, Tricia, the recall of two senior diplomats from the UAE over the Prime Minister's recent visit there has apparently caused consternation within some quarters of the civil service. What's your read of the situation? Does it go beyond a simple blunder? And could it point to a breakdown of relations between political leaders and the civil service?
Yeah, I mean, this seems to be quite unprecedented, and I don't know anything at all about the situation beyond what is in the news. But from my own relationship and dealings with Misma Putra, I have always found them to be very professional. And this is coming from someone who actually worked in a state government that was in an opposing coalition to the then federal government, right? So, and even then, I found the officers working at Wisma Putra in foreign service abroad always extremely professional. And I find it extremely surprising that this level of miscommunication would have resulted in these officials being called back.
Tricia, the AG had reportedly agreed to accept representation from Serba Dynamic officials, contrary to advice from the Securities Commission and Bursa Malaysia, which we can consider as part of the civil service somewhat. So is it unusual for politically appointed heads of government agencies to eschew advice from the civil service?
So I think just for kind of public education purposes, so we know that the public prosecutor and the attorney general in Malaysia are occupied by one and the same person, right? So this is why any kind of public prosecution actually comes out of the Attorney General's office. In the case of the Securities Commission and the Attorney General's office, from what I understand, the Securities Commission has their own officers who are authorized by the public prosecutor, which is actually the AG, to prosecute. However, the power to initiate proceedings ultimately comes from the public prosecutor or the attorney general. It is true that the attorney general does have discretionary power to withdraw or not to institute charges in this particular Securities Commission case on Serba Dynamic. So again, for background, the reason that Serba Dynamic was charged was because based on the Securities Commission statement, they were charged for submitting a false statement to Bursa Malaysia, which is an offence, right, under the Capital Markets and Services Act 2007. So I think to answer your question, it is rare for the Attorney General to take an action against the wishes of the Securities Commission's prosecuting office, which it does have. So the question is, why is it that the AG, which is the head of one of a very, very important government agency, not actually taking this advice from the SE and Bursa Malaysia. Although in the letter of the law, this is something that is provided for, meaning that the AG does have the right to do that, I think the public would definitely benefit from greater transparency and answers as to why this advice was not heeded to.
So, Tricia, what needs to be done to empower the civil service to serve independently and without fear or favour?
I do know of senior civil servants who are actually put in a very difficult position, a very challenging position, because on the one hand, they are supposed to be serving the government and adhering to certain rules and regulations. But on the other hand, there are times when the political minister, the minister in question, wants to go, you know, in the opposite direction. So what do they do then? It's not a black and white situation where it's entirely the political leader's fault or the civil servant's fault. I mean, I think we have to get rid of that notion as well, that it is your finger pointing at the political, is it the political masters that are at fault, or is it the civil service? I think we need to be able to make the distinction between like good civil servants and bad civil servants. So how can we empower them to serve independently without fear or favor? I think we should support the good ones. And I think we should be strict when it warrants it. So when we find that there are civil servants who are actually on the take, then we should create like real uproar as to why there are not more punitive measures to punish the civil servants that actually have been the bad apples. So I think if the public and the, you know, the intellectual community, people like us, can make that distinction and support the ones who have been serving well and to punish the ones that are found to be guilty of certain offenses, then they themselves will feel that they have the support, moral support, you know, public support outside to do what they can in the best interest of the country.
That was Tricia Yeo, CEO of IDEAS, highlighting the very difficult position civil servants are in. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.